There have been multiple attacks already. A large plume of smoke seen over the Afghan capital. In addition, we have seen that there are a number of flashes, and clear to you that what's going on here is this first wave of bombing as reported by Nora O'Donnell.
It's absolutely clear. Now, the possibility is that they're also attacking terrorist camps and military headquarters, which are located south of Kabul. And your correspondent did say that there were attacks going on in Kandahar and Herat. Which Herat is over here on
Let's take a look at the map.
Herat is over here on the west side, which don't have Kandahar down here. Now, both of those happen to have headquarters of particular elements of the Taliban military. They will have stockpiles of munitions, fuel, and those are the kind of targets, along with possibly fuel supplies and military targets in Kabul, that are being hit tonight.
So nothing here that is of any surprise. These were all known areas where Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda were operating.
Either that or the Taliban. So it would be a combination of hitting terrorist camps, apparently, and the actual military infrastructure of the Taliban, to include power, to include fuel stocks, to include airfields and anti-aircraft sites, all apparently being hit.
Do we have Kerry Sanders available? Let's go to NBC's Kerry Sanders. Kerry Sanders is in Afghanistan for us. Where exactly are you, Kerry, and what are you seeing and hearing?
Okay, we're not really hearing and seeing too much. We've got the night vision lens on here. I'm in Khwaja Haboddin here. I'm going to step out of the way and let you see what at least the night vision lens can see as we go out about 12 miles out there, which takes you out to the front line here of the Northern Alliance. It takes you to Dasht-e-Kal. Now, we're a considerable distance from Kabul. We have seen some lights on the horizon, but we don't want to necessarily say that what we're seeing out there are bombs dropping. It could very well be the lights of cars that are coming across roads, but we have seen them kind of popping up and down, filling the sky, at least momentarily. While this is all going on right here, and as you can see, as you asked what we can hear, we can't hear anything here, but members of the Northern Alliance military are huddled just a short distance from here inside a room, in a carpeted room, gathered around a shortwave radio, listening to developments, turned to me and said, "Thank you, America." One man took his hand and went like this across his throat and said, "Osama bin Laden." And there is the general sense of excitement and really a sense that something is finally happening here. Of course, the Northern Alliance has been in a long battle here. For the United States, this is something somewhat new for Afghanistan. But nonetheless, there's a sense here that something is taking place right now.
And in fact, hadn't the Northern Alliance, they had been saying over the last hour or so, or maybe couple of hours, that they believed, and their sources were telling them that an attack was imminent.
Well, indeed. I mean, there were indications that they believed that there were going to be some developments tonight, that something was going to take place. But I think we should also be hesitant to put too much stock into what they're saying. They're huddled around a radio right now trying to find out what's going on. Over there on the front line, the area that we showed you just a short time ago, we can push back out there, not that you can see too much. There are about 1,000 soldiers with the Northern Alliance who are up there. They have their T-62 tanks, which are some very old Soviet tanks, about at least 8 of them up there. There are some cannons. They've got a little bit of rocket-propelled grenade launchers there. So they're attempting to do whatever they can to do to support the United States and the British forces. But of course, one of the concerns that the folks who are planning this military action is to make sure that really they don't get in the way. As much as they may want to help, there's a real concern that they can get in the way of what the highly trained members of the U.S. and the British forces can do. One thing to note, as you see with this lens here late at night, it's a full moon out. The sky is very clear. You can look up and see the stars. This is a good night for people to, for soldiers to pull off a military operation.
And what is it where you are? A little before 9 p.m.?
It's about 9:20 p.m. We've got not a full hour difference on all the multiple hours. It's I think it's either 8.5 or 9.5 plus. I've kind of lost track of this, but I think it's around coming up to around 9:30 local time here.
NBC's Kerry Sanders, if you can stand by for us. If you're just joining us, the United States has launched military retaliation in Afghanistan. Already power has gone out in Kabul. There have been a number of bombing strikes. According to NBC's Nora O'Donnell, who is at the Pentagon for us, there is confirmation that, among other things, B-2 stealth bombers are being used. And in fact, we're getting reports that there have been ongoing plumes of smoke. thunderous explosions and anti-aircraft fire, multiple rockets hitting Kabul. NBC's Dan Garay is with us, our military analyst. Give us your perspective on what we know so far.
Well, we seem to have it confirmed that, in fact, a major attack is underway, because we're talking about multiple explosions, lights in the sky. We've even seen it from some of the earlier video footage. All that seems to suggest that what you have is not a small strike, but a rather major one involving elements of U.S. power, including B-2 bombers, possibly B-52 and B-1 bombers, and tactical aircraft coming from a number of different places, including all the way from the United States.
Let's talk about the targets that Nora mentioned, and maybe we can show... Let's stay with this live picture as long as we have it up here, but let's talk about infrastructure, airstrips, and air defenses.
Well, the first thing that the airstrikes are going to do is go after the air defenses, at least the high-altitude air defenses the Taliban had. That includes aircraft. So you're going to hit the aircraft, you're going to destroy the runways, any radars that they have, commercial or military, so that they aren't able to see our aircraft, and then you're going to go after the long-range, high-altitude surface-to-air missiles. They're older systems, but you want to protect U.S. aircraft from any possible threat. And so those will all be taken out, or at least we'll attempt to all take them out, probably in the first night.
Let's go back to Afghanistan. NBC's Kerry Sanders. And Kerry, about 12 miles from the front line of the Northern Alliance, and I know that we have you on those night vision lenses. Set the scene for us again, if you will, Kerry.
Well, you've got a very clear night here. The full moon is out. You can see the stars. About 12 miles that direction is one of the front lines. More than 200 miles from Kabul. We have not really had a chance to see a whole lot of anything that we can definitively say are bombs dropping. Again, we saw some flashes, but it could very easily be car lights that were just bouncing on a road and coming up, because there are some roads in that general direction. But in that area over there on the front line, there are members of the Northern Alliance, about 1,000 soldiers who were there. They have been there prepared for something to take place. The commander of the Northern Alliance for this region is there with his men tonight. They have rocket-propelled grenade launchers, they have tanks, and they have a very strong desire to see the Taliban pushed back and extinguished. So they're there. Now, whether there are special operations forces on the ground in this area, nobody knows. It's a secret, and quite frankly, we may never know. But if they are there on the ground in this area working, one of the concerns that military leaders have is that as much as the Northern Alliance wants to help participate and wants to take part in the operation, they don't want them to get in the way. They're not trained in the way that the military and the British forces are, and so they're somewhat concerned about what could take place there. At the same time as this is going on, to give you an idea of how perhaps the information, even to the Northern Alliance, is limited, if perhaps even non-existent. There are a group of soldiers who have gathered around a shortwave radio who were listening just a short distance from here. One thing that I thought was interesting is this is a carpeted area where they were seated, where they had a little pot of tea where they would normally sit with their shoes off. Tonight, they've got their shoes on and their guns are stacked at the door, so if they have to go somewhere quickly, their guns are there, their shoes are on, and they can leave as fast as they can. There are some members of the Northern Alliance who have already indicated that by early morning, when the sun comes up, their plan is to move out in that general direction over there to the front line, a front line that they hope is beginning to shift and pushing more towards the capital here in Afghanistan.
Kerry, if you can stand by, please. We want to go back to the Pentagon. NBC's Nora O'Donnell, as the United States launches military retaliation in Afghanistan, I understand, Nora, that you have some late-breaking information.
We do. We have some new information, Chris, about the U.S. launch of military attacks on Afghanistan, including long-range bombers and cruise missiles into these targets. It has been 26 days since the worst terror attacks ever on American soil. Now the U.S. has retaliated to take out the limited infrastructure of the Taliban inside Afghanistan. The thinking by military planners is to begin this type of bombing bombing to soften the target. Then there could be a longer U.S. presence inside Afghanistan, including, according to sources, setting up U.S. base inside Afghanistan. In fact, when Secretary Rumsfeld had traveled around to the Middle East and Central Asia, he secured the help of Uzbekistan to use a base nearby in Afghanistan. But the thinking at the time by many sources was that was key, but it wasn't all important, because they thought that at some point they would want to have a base of operations eventually inside Afghanistan. It makes sense, because any types of large U.S. military presence inside Afghanistan would need supply lines in order to get supplies to many of the troops that would be in there. So that is what we're seeing now with this first wave of bombings by long-range bombers as well as cruise missiles to soften the target to allow for a larger presence inside Afghanistan. And no one should think that this will be a quick type of attack. It is clear that this is going to be a long, sustained campaign. The Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, earlier last week, comparing this to a fight like the Cold War, using that as a reference for how long it will take to root out terrorism. Clearly in Afghanistan, this is just the first wave of what will be future U.S. military action and perhaps presence in Afghanistan. Chris?
Nora, if you can stand by, I want to go back to Dan Gray using that phrase, soften the target, put that in more non-military language for us. And as if we look on the screen, I saw some flashes out of the corner of my eye.
What we're doing is, as Nora was saying, is attacking apparently those elements of Taliban power that would cause us to have problems if we were going to operate in and over Afghanistan. So air defenses, airfields, those things that might allow them to interfere with our air operations. We've gone after electric power, we may be going after fuel and ammunition stocks, so the Taliban military capability is substantially reduced. There also is, to remind everybody, a base right here, a very large former Soviet base, northwest of Kabul, the Bagram base, which is held by the Northern Alliance. That would be a potential perfect location for U.S. ground presence. Air base, a very large facility. You could operate all kinds of aircraft there for further operations into Afghanistan.
Tell me more about the types of the cruise missiles, the B-2, what Nora's talking about in terms of what the U.S. is using right now for this first wave of attacks.
Well, we're speculating a bit, but we would assume that they're using both Tomahawk cruise missiles, which have been used repeatedly over the last 10 years. There's also air-launched cruise missiles. They come with both solid warheads and what we call submunitions, small bomblets that can be used to crater runways or destroy large areas. And then the B-2 comes in with the Joint Direct Attack Munition, JDAM, highly accurate. It misses at most by about 4 or 5 feet per target. That can be used for attacking runways, buildings. It can even be used for going after at least certain elements of these terrorist camps. The bombers could also be coming in and doing what we call carpet bombing, large numbers of bombs designed to just flatten everything within a large area.
There we take a look at the screen again, and you're seeing those flashes. Let's go back to NBC's Kerry Sanders, who is about 12 miles from the front lines of the Northern Alliance. Kerry, what are you able to see where you are? Kerry Sanders, can you hear me? I think we have lost contact with Kerry. We'll try to reestablish.
Kerry,
can you hear it?
Chris,
great.
I'm sorry about that.
We've been seeing some more flashes on the picture.
Let me just get out of the shot here and sort of take a look. Well, you know, I don't want to overstate what these flashes are, because we are 200 miles plus from the capital here, and indications are from Al Jazeera, the broadcaster that is actually in the capital, that the international airport is what is being targeted. It would be highly unlikely from this distance that our camera would be able to pick up those flashes. Nonetheless, we have seen something on the horizon here, but we have not heard accompanying sounds that would go along with that. So I'm not exactly sure what we're seeing. One indication we thought was possibly we saw we could describe it as car lights. But again, it was very erratic the way that it was going up. And when it did actually fill the sky, the haze, the sand that's here is actually caught by those lights. It's a very clear night. We've got a beautiful night, full moon. So if something is taking place with forces on the ground accompanying the air forces, then they've got very good climate here to go forward.
Kerry Sanders, thank you very much. We're now less than 30 seconds away. We're expecting an address from the President of the United States. He will address the nation as the United States has begun to launch military retaliation in Afghanistan. The first wave of bombing has begun, targeting infrastructure already in the capital of Kabul. Electricity has gone out, and there are some reports that there has been a hit at the Kandahar Airport Command Base. Let's listen now to the President of the United States.
Military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. These carefully targeted actions are designed to disrupt the use of Afghanistan as a terrorist base of operations and to attack the military capability of the Taliban regime. We are joined in this operation by our staunch friend, Great Britain. Other close friends, including Canada, Australia, Germany, and France, have pledged forces as the operation unfolds. More than 40 countries in the Middle East, Africa, Europe, and across Asia have granted air transit or landing rights. Many more have shared intelligence. We are supported by the collective will of the world. More than 2 weeks ago, I gave Taliban leaders a series of clear and specific demands. Close terrorist training camps, hand over leaders of the Al-Qaeda network, and return all foreign nationals, including American citizens, unjustly detained in your country. None of these demands were met, and now the Taliban will pay a price. By destroying camps and disrupting communications, we will make it more difficult for the terror network to train new recruits and coordinate their evil plans. Initially, the terrorists may burrow deeper into caves and other entrenched hiding places. Our military action is also designed to clear the way for sustained, comprehensive, and relentless operations to drive them out and bring them to justice. At the same time, the oppressed people of Afghanistan will know the generosity of America and our allies. As we strike military targets, we will also drop food, medicine, and supplies to the starving and suffering men and women and children of Afghanistan. The United States of America is a friend to the Afghan people, and we are the friends of almost a billion worldwide who practice the Islamic faith. The United States of America is an enemy of those who aid terrorists and of the barbaric criminals who profane a great religion by committing murder in its name. This military action is a part of our campaign against terrorism, another front in a war that has already been joined through diplomacy, intelligence, the freezing of financial assets, and the arrests of known terrorists by law enforcement agents in 38 countries. Given the nature and reach of our enemies, we will win this conflict by the patient accumulation of successes, by meeting a series of challenges with determination and will and purpose. Today we focus on Afghanistan, but the battle is broader. Every nation has a choice to make. In this conflict, there is no neutral ground. If any government sponsors the outlaws and killers of innocents, they have become outlaws and murderers themselves, and they will take that lonely path at their own peril. I'm speaking to you today from the Treaty Room of the White House, a place where American presidents have worked for peace. We're a peaceful nation. Yet as we have learned so suddenly and so tragically, there can be no peace in a world of sudden terror. In the face of today's new threat, the only way to pursue peace is to pursue those who threaten it. We did not ask for this mission, but we will fulfill it. The name of today's military operation is Enduring Freedom. We defend not only our precious freedoms, but also the freedom of people everywhere to live and raise their children free from fear. I know many Americans feel fear today, and our government is taking strong precautions. All law enforcement and intelligence agencies are working aggressively around America, around the world, and around the clock. At my request, many governors have activated the National Guard to strengthen airport security. We have called up reserves to reinforce our military capability and strengthen the protection of our homeland. In the months ahead, our patience will be one of our strengths. Patience with the long waits that will result from tighter security. Patience in understanding that it will take time to achieve our goals. Patience in all the sacrifices that may come. Today, those sacrifices are being made by members of our armed forces who now defend us so far from home and by their proud and worried families. A commander-in-chief sends America's sons and daughters into a battle in a foreign land only after the greatest care and a lot of prayer. We ask a lot of those who wear our uniform. We ask them to leave their loved ones, to travel great distances, to risk injury, even to be prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. They are dedicated. They are honorable. They represent the best of our country, and we are grateful. To all the men and women in our military, every sailor, every soldier, every airman, every Coast Guardsman, every Marine, I say this: your mission is defined, your objectives are clear, your goal is just. You have my full confidence, and you will have every tool you need to carry out your duty. I recently received a touching letter that says a lot about the state of America in these difficult times. A letter from a fourth grade girl with a father in the military. "As much as I don't want my dad to fight," she wrote, "I'm willing to give him to you." This is a precious gift, the greatest she could give. This young girl knows what America is all about. Since September 11, an entire generation of young Americans has gained new understanding of the value of freedom and its cost in duty and in sacrifice. The battle is now joined on many fronts. We will not waver. We will not tire. We will not falter. And we will not fail. Peace and freedom will prevail. Thank you. May God continue to bless America.
You just heard the President of the United States live from the Treaty Room of the White House confirming that America has responded to the September 11th attacks on U.S. soil. A live picture from Afghanistan, the President confirming targets being hit, including terrorist training camps in Afghanistan, U.S. and British forces. To that end, we want to let you know that Tony Blair, Prime Minister of Great Britain, expected to speak very shortly. We hope to carry that for you live as well. But we had seen the indications of explosions in Afghanistan. That's the first confirmation from the White House, the President to return to the White House early, making that announcement a very, very tough statement and indicating this is a battle that will continue. But again, America has now joined the battle militarily that began September 11th. Here, Operation Enduring Freedom is underway. How they're striking, what kind of aircraft, missiles, the President didn't give us a clear indication just yet. Is Kerry ready? Okay, let's go to Nora O'Donnell now at the Pentagon to bring us more. Nora?
Hello, Lester. Well, yes, we have heard more from defense officials today about the type of bombs that were dropped. We also are hearing that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, as well as the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Myers, will brief here at the Pentagon. So far, we are hearing from a defense official that the targets are so far so good, referring to the success of the strikes so far. The part of the first wave that we see in these pictures include Tomahawk cruise missiles fired from ships. The usual type of first targets were hit, says an official, including command and control targets, power stations, and the cruise missiles appear to be hitting the intended targets in Afghanistan thus far. So far, so good, according to a defense official about how these strikes are being carried out. The President making clear what military officials have been telling us. This will be a long, sustained campaign, taking out the Taliban infrastructure, taking out as well those terrorist camps so that no more terrorists can be trained there. Sources saying that there has been some activity in those terrorist camps recently. That is one of the reasons that these terrorist camps have been bombed, as well as air defenses. Also, sources saying that humanitarian drops will come very soon to those millions of starving Afghan refugees in the country. Also, as the U.S. military undertakes this first wave of bombing, sources saying it will be used to soften the target, get rid of all of these air defenses, any type of Taliban military that could pose a threat to American planes or American forces. Once that softening of a target is done. There will then be a sustained operation inside Afghanistan. There will be supply lines needed for troops, and so that we could see U.S. troops on in the ground for a longer period of time after this first wave of bombing to take out any serious threats to American forces. Lester?
All right, Nora O'Donnell at the Pentagon. If you're just joining us, America is striking back, hitting targets in Afghanistan. Late tonight, a little after 9 o'clock right now in Kabul. The president just spoke on national television announcing Operation Enduring Freedom is underway. Prime Minister Tony Blair of Britain expected to speak as well. British troops are also apparently a part of this opening round. NBC correspondent Kerry Sanders is in Afghanistan. Kerry, what do you see from your perspective?
Well, Lester, I'm not sure we could make out much of what we're looking at. You're looking at a night vision lens on a camera here, pointing out about 12 miles in the direction of one of the fronts here with the Northern Alliance along a front that has actually moved back and forth with the Taliban. And at this point, the activity that you've seen here tonight is a couple flashes in the sky here, but I'm not sure what to determine about what those flashes are because we have not heard any accompanying sounds, and we're about 200 miles from the capital, Kabul, here, so I'm not sure what we can determine from that. We did hear the president say that soon there will be the additional next part of this, which is the food and the medicine for the people here who have been in need of food because of their situation, the refugees who've been on the move, about 14,000 right in the area where I am, some who have been arriving recently, a large wave coming in the last 2 weeks, but really for the last 2 years, refugees who have been leaving and coming, hiding out behind the lines, coming to places like here, which is Khaja Bodine, where they can find some sense of safety. But of course, families are split, families are wondering when they'll be reunited, and some families are wondering if their loved ones are still alive. There have been some reports, as you know, that the Taliban had been going from house to house, mud hut to mud hut, and forcing people who were in there to either pick up their guns and go out and participate in the fight with the Taliban or face punishment, which in some cases is face getting killed by the Taliban. So tonight, here we are. It's a very clear night. It's a full moon, about 68 degrees outside, and a fair amount of the forces, at least in this area that we have seen from the Northern Alliance, sitting around radios listening and really quite excited to see that something is taking place. But as we heard the president say, this is the first night of a long, sustained campaign. And I think the president put it, perhaps something that the members of the military who are participating will have heard before they even got here, which is that they will never waver, that the United States will not tire, that the United States will not falter, and the U.S. will not fail. Lester?
NBC's Kerry Sanders inside Afghanistan. Dan Gray is our MSNBC military analyst. Dan, characterize what we've seen so far. The president says terrorist training camps, but we're hearing indications of airports, command and control structures. Is this playing out as you would have expected it to?
Very much so. In fact, it may even be a broader attack than we might have expected. He's talked about taking down all the infrastructure that supports the terrorist operations, communications, power, the camps themselves, and now going after the Taliban. And you heard him in the speech basically say, if you're with the terrorists, you are a terrorist. And so now you're going after the power centers of the Taliban itself. We're probably seeing attacks on command centers. We're probably seeing attacks on fuel dumps, ammo dumps, the airports, and surface-to-air missile sites that would otherwise threaten our aircraft.
The use of cruise missiles widely criticized the last time the U.S. struck targets in Afghanistan. Your impression, this is not the only punch that's being used there?
Well, we're obviously doing it broader, we're doing it systematically, and I'm sure, in addition, we are beginning a bombing campaign that will include B-2 bombers with precision, the stealth bomber with precision munitions, and other aircraft coming from a variety of places.
We had been led to believe that Afghanistan, that the Taliban didn't have a sophisticated infrastructure to begin with. The targets we're hitting, that the U.S. is hitting power plants, that would affect the wide population, would it?
To a certain degree, it would affect the population, although I suspect the way we've done that is with special munitions that don't actually physically destroy the power plants. They essentially just cause them to be non-functional for a period of time. But what that also does is deny communications between the various parts of the country. The Taliban leadership in Kabul now can't talk to those troops at the front lines, can't talk to the troops they were sending against Uzbekistan. That's important with respect to now what follows.
And we want to let you know, again, these are live pictures you're seeing coming from Afghanistan, night vision. That's the green glow. We're not seeing any activity right now, but within the last half hour, there have been explosions. There have been targets struck within Afghanistan. The president confirming that. There have been indications throughout the late morning and early afternoon that something was afoot. We're told, according to military officials telling NBC News, that U.S. airplanes are flying combat air patrol missions today over pro football games here in the U.S., an indication of greater security that we will likely see now that U.S. has joined this battle. I flew yesterday with an Air Force unit that was patrolling over Washington, D.C. Armed airplanes have been patrolling 24 hours over New York and Washington, and now apparently those patrols spreading over football games as security here in the U.S. is stepped up. The president indicating that the battle has begun, but there are many more phases to come. Reports of cruise missiles fired from ships, command and control targets, power stations being hit. Dan Garay, talk about the tone of the president. What did you come away with?
This was an enormously, remarkably firm statement of his, that in fact we had given the Taliban all the rope that we were going to, and that they had failed to comply. He also repeated that every country now has a choice. This was a statement he made in the address to Congress, but he repeats it now, and I think this is for effect, because what he's really saying is the same kind of fate awaits those other nations that continue to support terrorism. We're not only going after Afghanistan, the Taliban, to get bin Laden, but we're also essentially sending a message to the other terrorist-sponsoring states.
And a sense of excitement and expectation among the Northern Alliance. Those are the rebel troops who have been fighting the Kabul government or fighting the Taliban government. NBC's Kerry Sanders is in northern Afghanistan. Kerry, was there an indication, a sense that this was going to happen now among the Northern Alliance troops?
Well, I think the Northern Alliance was aware something could be happening. They actually canceled flights over even their own territory today. Late today, they had one last flight in. Matter of fact, I came in on that last flight, and since then, they've canceled all flights. So they were aware of something possibly coming down, but clear that they're not participating in a lot of this, because right now, they've actually gathered around radios, and in one place, they have a satellite dish where they've tuned in some pictures, and even the foreign minister of the Northern Alliance, who is right in this general area where I am, has gathered around that television and the radio, listening, trying to make out what exactly is happening.